standard in the information age, but facts are in short supply. Reject the noise, ask bold questions, and pursue the truth with FBI whistleblowers and founding suspendables Garrett O'Boyle and Steve Friend. This is the American Radicals Podcast.
It is the American Radicals Podcast, and we are rolling. We are live and lively on Rumble.com, rumble.com/AmRadPod. We come to you Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we go a little early, 8:30 Eastern. Saturday is always at noon. We let you sleep in a little bit on the weekends. Glad that you're here joining us. As long as you're here, make sure that you follow the show. Smash the like button. If you want to subscribe, that would be great. If you listen to the podcast later on, make sure that you subscribe so you get the automatic updates, which we drop as soon as the show is complete. We are on a Tuesday morning, so we're going to be a little bit quicker form than we do typically on the weekends, and especially today because my partner in crime at GOB Actual, Garrett O'Boyle, is in a time crunch. But I think that I want a motivated, dedicated Garrett, and I've been able to restructure the show to get him extra fired up because his wife's going to be doing the Lord's work today. She's going to work at a crisis pregnancy center. So happy to fill in for you in the latter half of the show, Garrett. Thanks for being here in any form. I'm always happy to see you.
Of course. And because we are American Radicals, yes, my wife will be heading over to the pregnancy crisis center, which, as we know, Merrick Garland and his lackeys in the DOJ and FBI can't investigate the 250 plus, man, it's probably like 300-400 by now, because the number I have is from last February, of firebombings and, you know, attacks on those because the cover of darkness. So I'm confident she'll be safe, but yes, the Lord's work indeed.
Diabolical evildoers doing things at night just evades the premier law enforcement agency for the country. But today's show is titled Cowardice, Comfort, and Consignment. Tried to do a nice little alliteration there. And the question that I wanted to pose is, why are we seeing all the wickedness occurring from our public officials? What could be driving that forward? And the three ideas that I came up with, and we've sort of hammered on a lot of them, one being cowardice. They're just afraid to stand in the gap. Comfort. People are addicted to being comfortable at all times. Don't want to create any static. Don't want to be inconvenienced. Certainly don't want to have the media say something bad about you. That might make you feel extra squeamish. And then consignment, outsourcing your citizenship or responsibilities to someone else because they're the subject matter expert. I'm just going to keep my head down and do what I'm told to do or by the experts. And I think, though, that those are sort of subcategories of a larger issue, which is corruption. Now, corruption in lay terms sort of has a different meaning to us than I'm intending it for this discussion that we're going to have today. We have a FBI that has a public corruption unit. The assumption is that corruption is dishonest and fraudulent and illegal. But there's another use for corruption. I mean, you can have a corrupted computer file, right? It doesn't run. Something is decayed inside of it. And I think that there's another element too of moral depravity that's associated with corruption. And we're going to examine some of the bigger decisions that have come out in the last few weeks, months, even as early as late as last night, and through this lens, and see if the Venn diagram of those three issues being cowardice, comfort, or consignment, do they overlap at all? Maybe one or two or all three, and get feedback from Garrett on those, because I know he's been hammering on the cowardice and the comfort issue quite a bit lately, which is my love language.
Yeah, for sure. And it, you know, but because I don't know if I'll get to it, if I don't right now, I'm just going to head there. And I have a feeling that it's going to land appropriately. Habakkuk 1:4. I may have said this one before. I know I tweet it here and there, but it says, "So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." And this is that idea of corruption, the overall idea that Steve is talking about here. And I'm gonna go to my footnote in my study Bible too. It says literally the law is chilled, numbed. So numbed, sorry, not numbered, numbed, chilled and numbed. It says it had no respect, it was given no authority. As hands rendered useless by cold, the impact and effectiveness of the law was paralyzed by the corruption of Judah's leaders. You've heard me say it before. This is why I head to the Old Testament so frequently. The parallels between corrupted Judah and corrupted America are striking. And honestly, I mean, if you were a Christian living in the Roman Empire near the end of its tenure, I'm sure it was the same. I mean, we know by looking at history that the similarities were there as well. It's with any nation that becomes corrupted because, as it says in Jeremiah, the heart of man is wicked amongst all above all things. Who can understand it? Only God can. And we're wicked people. And that's why we need a savior. And so, of course, a nation founded on strong principles, biblical principles even, and a strong constitution over time is going to decay and become corrupted. And here we are.
All right, Garrett. So I wanted to start with one place, but because of your timing situation and actually in keeping with what your wife's going to be doing today, I want to restructure the show and start with somewhere else. And this is a issue that has been going on for a few years, especially since the Jackson-Dobbs decision occurred in the Supreme Court, effectively overturned Roe versus Wade, returned the abortion question back to the states. They said, you know, we're not going to rule actually on when life begins. We are just saying that this decision, the Roe v. Wade decision, was improper. It needs to be returned to the states, and the states can pass the laws that they want. And as a result of that, there were many states that were right of center and that had trigger laws passed. And they said, if and when Roe v. Wade is no longer the law of the land, this law will go into effect, which is how you see like 15-week abortion bans going on in like my state of Florida that passed. And other states are pushing the envelope further. And one of those states was the state of Arizona, which went back to a law that passed during the Civil War in 1864, which was going to effectively stop abortions from happening within the state of Arizona. And I wanted to bring this up because the narrative changed pretty quickly from people who are running for high office. I found it enormously problematic and actually kind of made me pretty heartsick to see it. And I think that you'll probably share my sentiment, but I wanted to make sure that I got the at GOB actual extra fired up today. This is a 1 minute video clip, and we can see the evolution of a belief from one election cycle to the next. Let's give this one a play.
I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to go into effect. That's what I believe will happen. I don't think abortion pills should be legal.
We have a great law on the books right now. If that happens, we will be a state where we will not be taking the lives of our unborn anymore.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books. So it will prohibit abortion in Arizona. And I think we're going to be paving the way and setting course for other states to follow.
This total ban on abortion that the Arizona Supreme Court just ruled on is out of line with where the people of this state are. The issue is less about banning abortion and more about saving babies. I agree with President Trump. This is such a personal and private issue. I chose life, but I'm not every woman. I want to make sure that every woman who finds herself pregnant has more choices so that she can make that choice that I made.
Wow, that was pretty quick.
Oh, Steve. You do know how to get me going in the morning, don't you?
Good morning.
Oh, man, that is... I mean...
I'm heartsick.
Yeah, it's... Well, I've talked about it before. John 12, they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So now it's, do we even know what she believes? I would say we don't. Do we even know what she thinks is true? I would say no. But here's the thing. Let's say she truly believes that, like she did in 2022, that abortion, total ban, which is where I stand. I'm an abolitionist when it comes to that. And because we've talked about this before too. We don't pick the hill. God is the commander. He picks the hill. It is beyond clear that human life is the pinnacle of his creation. And now we are going to decide if we can destroy it or not. It's up to us. This is Molech. This is modern day Molech, which we've also talked about before. And here you have someone who's seeking office in the conservative movement. She's a conservative, allegedly. But no, now it's just a deeply private and personal decision. Yeah, like every other sin that we like to do in secret, like every other evil deed that we like to do in secret. It's personal and private. And oh, by the way, like many alleged Christians, oh, my faith is between just me and God. No. That's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer would call cheap grace. And that is what led Nazi Germany to become Nazi Germany. And that is what is leading America to become America, because one of the other verses that was on my mind comes from Isaiah 59. And it says, for truth is lacking in the public square. And other renditions say it is stumbling in the public square. This is why you have someone like Carrie Lake now saying, oh, a complete abortion ban that the Supreme Court in Arizona, you know, decided on is out of bounds. And I stand with Donald Trump. Okay. No, here's the problem. You people who say, oh, I wasn't a politician, now I'm getting into politics for the people. Guess what? You've become politicians. You've become like those in John 12 who love the glory that comes from man more instead of standing on your principles. You do what's right. You do what is right regardless. And then the chips fall where they may. Oh, man, dude, I could go the rest of the time, but I'll spare it because I know you have more.
Well, I was struck by the actual the providential nature that this fell into Arizona because of the 1864 law, because of what was happening in 1864. Like, that was the seminal debate of the time of life, right? Slavery. Mm-hmm. And this is the debate now. So I think it's very appropriate that this is the law in that time and that state happens to be the one that's now brought to the forefront. So I'm guessing you didn't really appreciate the inspirational piano music playing behind her as she completely changed her opinion. It would be the first person. This was a discussion I actually had a little bit with Tracy Beans yesterday. It would be the first person that ever completely did a 180 on their decision in that direction when it came to abortion.
Right.
I could see someone having an aha moment who was a pro abortion person. And then they just, a woman has a baby and realizes, oh my gosh, then it can remember that exact moment.
For sure.
And flipped. Yeah. I don't think in history there's ever been someone who was of your opinion that was a pro-life absolutist that was just like, aha, I'm going to go the other way.
Right.
Unless they're, of course, running for office. And to where does this fall? Is this cowardice? Is it comfort? Is it consignment? She certainly referenced Donald Trump. So there's a consignment aspect to it. She's saying, well, whatever the presumptive nominee for the president, I want to back whatever that is. It sort of deflects the actual accountability off of her plate because she can always just defer to what someone else said. And if you're running for a position of leadership, I'd like you to formulate your own opinions. I have some problems with that. I mean, you can support somebody for higher office and not agree with them on 100% of the things that we need to be able to hold two thoughts in our head at the same time. Yeah. Do you think that there is a cowardice aspect to this? Like, you just want to, the heat's going to be too hot from the media. Is there a comfort issue where, I'd like to have that in my back pocket because, mistakes do happen.
I think for me, it's cowardice. I mean, maybe I'm beating that horse too much, but I guess the longer we go into this, whatever this life is, and for me, this ongoing suspension for both of us, FBI doing whatever they're doing behind the scenes, with running credit or whatever, I think it's all cowardice because they, like in her case, I think it's cowardice because she's concerned about the vote. She thinks, oh, if I become a little bit more moderate on this issue, I'll get more votes. And that's that cowardice. It doesn't matter. You're gonna win or you're gonna lose. Like, the best thing you can do is be firm on your principles. And hopefully the people of Arizona will realize, like, oh, maybe I don't agree with her on everything, but at least she's telling me the truth, because that's the one thing we don't get from politicians is the truth. And now with Carrie Lake, she can't be trusted. You can't trust her. So I think it's the cowardice element wins the day for me with her. One other thing, oddly enough, with Arizona, there's a church there called Apologia, and they have a YouTube channel called Apologia Studios. And one of their lead pastors is a guy named Jeff Durbin, who I first learned of early, like COVID vaccine mandate time, because they helped support some Navy SEALs with a lawsuit. But they are huge, like pro-life, you know, that's one of their key aspects is doing something for the for babies. And so they even go and they speak to state legislators all over. Of course, Arizona is their home state, so it's mostly there. So there is an element of divinity here where it's like, oh, all these years, you know, I've been following them for like 4 years. They've been at it a lot longer. And all these years they've been beating that drum, and look at some of the headway. I'm sure they've had an impact there because they really know their stuff. And go on YouTube. It's APOLOGIA, I believe, Apologia Studios. And they put out some great stuff.
Excellent plug. And we will get to our plugs a little later, but I want to make sure in the remaining few minutes that we have, I wanted to go to the next issue that I had for you. This is obviously something that was very important to you and me in our experience in the FBI. This was impacted the entire world. This was the coronavirus when it hit in 2020, when we had the massive shutdowns and we completely rethought our entire economy. Like, we could push pause on a DVD and everything would just go right back into functioning. I don't know who came up with that logic, but there was a lot of things that were illogical about that time. And I saw this, this came from Thomas Massey, who's been one of the few members of our elected Congress who's been all over this. And he was talking about the actual economic ramifications of saying we can shut down the economy, flood a whole bunch of money into it, which now I believe it's like somewhere in the area of 30 to 33% increase in the money supply since 2020. So your dollars are actually worth less. So they're worthless. I mean, if you want to combine them. And this was something that Thomas Massey put out there. And he's talking about, this is multiple charts, the federal government budget surplus. And you can see in 2020 that it just falls through the floor. And as a result of, because people weren't, you know, paying taxes, they were just staying home. And then now we're seeing the inflation. And I've continued to hammer home that the inflation we're seeing, we're now just starting to see the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act and all the spending that they did once they came into office. All the inflation we've seen up to this point, I think, is all still derivative from the CARES Act and the response to coronavirus. But Thomas Massey has a couple different charts here. The prices of fruits and vegetables, as you look at that jump, if for those who are listening, you see in January of 2020, it's basically a pretty stable price. The index hovers around this 300 level. And then starting in 2020, it jumps. And now we're in 2024, 4 years later, and it's around the 360 level. That's, you know, a significant jump in inflation. And then similarly, you look at electricity costs. It looks almost the same shape as the fruits and vegetables inflation. And these are the essentials that are even being discounted from the core inflation numbers that we're seeing. They're not essential, you know, food, fruits, vegetables, and power. We can ignore those. We need to really focus in on, you know, other more important things like, I don't know, t-shirt prices.
I was going to say, looking at these charts, everybody who's bought a t-shirt, I owe you an even larger debt of gratitude. I mean, good grief. That's insane. No wonder we're buying yellow labeled meat, especially when, you know, you're on the bricks for, what am I getting to, 19, I don't even know, 20 months now, something crazy like that.
And I mean, to our theme today, this cowardice, comfort, and consignment, coronavirus had them all. I mean, there are people who are actually afraid of a virus.
Yep. And there still are to it. There still are some.
And then there's other cowardice aspects to it. Like, you don't want to be the leader who was in charge, who didn't go along, who bucked that. And now that we took all the guardrails down, there was no criticism of being extra careful. Well, as soon as somebody was careful, well, I need to be extra careful because I'm not going to be criticized for it. I'm afraid to be criticized for going the other direction and holding the line, which is how you got one-way shopping aisles. And, you know, in Michigan, you can't buy seeds in the store, but you can go buy liquor. And then you had the comfort funny. Issue. Nobody would, it seemed like almost no one. I mean, there was a semblance. There was a few people, myself included, I think you as well, who said, there's no amount of Netflix that's going to keep me in my house and have me hand over my civil liberties. But large swaths of the American population did. They said, yeah, just Uber Eats, Netflix and chill, and Zoom meetings. I'm just going to be really comfortable. And then that's become a way of life for people. They've still never come off of that. The virtual schooling and remote work situations, that's never changed again. And then the consignment, the outsourcing. Well, I'm not making the decisions. Right. I'm an elected official who's elected to make these decisions, but I'm just listening to the guidance. This is coming from someone else.
From the experts, the bureaucrats, or even from the president. He's the one who's ordering this. And then even him, well, I'm listening to the expert. And look, this is Trump too. This was Trump in the beginning. I'm listening to the experts, like an Anthony Fauci, who's as corrupt. He's worse than Habakkuk 1:4 says. He's as bad as they come. But I think of this too. It goes back to what you said about holding two opposing thoughts in your head at the same time. When we were heading into the 2 weeks to slow the spread, there's an agent, and I'll name him. His name is Special Agent Brandon Kimball, one of the biggest tyrant type of agents you'll ever work with, and also like very odd type of guy. And I name him because we had Trevor Aronson on a while back, and Brandon Kimball shows up in that podcast series, Alphabet Boys, the first season. And Brandon was the type who thinks, I'm from the government and you do what I say. And when we're heading into the 2 weeks to stop the spread, I'm like, I think this is stupid. I think this is wrong. This is like a cold. Pretty sure I already had it. And I'm pretty sure I did because I was really sick like in February. And he's like, well, what do you mean? How? And I'm like, but look, they're saying 2 weeks and then that's it. And obviously, look, it's been, I mean, we're on year four, but, or I don't even know, four and a half. And those 2 weeks weren't 2 weeks to stop anything except for freedom. And I think that was intentional. I think it took a little bit, at least for me, I'll admit it took me a little bit to catch on to that. And then even heading into, the two opposing thoughts, I was like, look, well, I'm fine with doing it because they say, 15 days and then we'll be fine. And he's like, well, how can you think it's stupid and wrong? And then you're going to do it. And it's like, well, because I'm willing to give a little to, if they're right, okay, fine. But then 15 days turned into like 50 months. And heading into like summer, because that was like spring or maybe even like late spring, because it's like for me in Kansas where we were, summer was like spring. It was awesome. I miss it. I loved it. But like going to the store, like not letting the family come with, like I would go, I'd get home, I'd wash my hands, I'd wipe off packages. And then after like a month, I'm like, bodies aren't piling up in the street here. Like, I'm pretty sure we were right in the beginning that this is just like a worse type of cold or flu. Because how many old people are dying from a cold or the flu, or they get a cold or the flu and then they get pneumonia and then they die? Like, they're dying anyways when they get, a corona type virus or something that inhibits their breathing and things like that. And it's like, maybe, just maybe, the government doesn't actually like our freedoms. And look, it turns out that was the case. Oh, and the T would be in the harbor by now, by the way, if you remember the charts that Steve pulled up, like what in the world? And everybody just, I got my DoorDash. I got my Netflix. I have PTSD from coronavirus. So now I'm on Social Security. So I got my government check coming in. As long as the government doesn't stop those things, I don't care. And even if it's a different government, like if China comes in, I don't care. As long as you just give me my comfort.
The question was always, the price of freedom. I mean, and the sacrifices we're going to be willing to make. And I just think of the 18-year-olds that stormed the beaches of Normandy to liberate Europe. And we sat here and traded it all in for a $1,200 stimulus check.
Yeah, dude. Even that. So think of that. I think that's another type of consignment. Like the government's like, well, no, look, we're going to give you $2,400. And it's like, well, considering it, the inflation, the cost of goods, the mind virus that you've infected people with over this now, you can burn that $2,400. But then even look again, and we've talked about this before, like who do we have to blame? Who do we really have to blame? We're all to blame as well because we keep voting these schmucks in. Like, oh man. I got to get going, but
appreciate you jumping on. We'll see Garrett again on Thursday's edition of the American Radicals podcast. I think Thomas Massie said it best when he pointed out the inflation we're all experiencing. He was the lone guy that made them all come back and do an in-person vote just to try to stall the process and draw attention at least to it. And he said the $1,200 Czechs were the cheese in the mousetrap that was sprung on us. And now we have this endemic inflation. It's not transitory. But you know, you can't help but noticing that we don't hear about the transitory inflation anymore. That's just sort of gone bye-bye. It's here to stay. And as a result of that, we're all experiencing the price hikes at the pump, at the grocery store, when the electric bills come in. I mean, boy, howdy, it's rough. And, you know, I have two small kids, so they're not even eating that much yet, but we're definitely feeling the squeeze in our house every time that I go to the grocery store. We're going to stay on this topic of cowardice and comfort and consignment, all under the umbrella term of corruption, but wanted to make sure we thank the show sponsor before we move on with that. And that is the True Earth Pharmacy. TrueEarth.co is the website, guys. If you go there, you can use the show's promo code, which is AMRAD24. And if you use that at checkout, you will get 10% off store-wide all of their products. They have the fertilizers available if you want to do some planting, some gardening. If you actually own some property, actually do some heavy-duty planting. I know we have some folks in the Midwest that, and that is corn and soybean country. I know that from my experience living there for almost a decade. Or if you want to actually get personally healthy, you can go to the pharmacy. Pharmacy spelled with an F. I'm actually running low on my supplements. I'm gonna have to hit them up and see if they can send me more. I definitely want more. The inflammation that I've experienced as a distance runner in my ankles and my feet for years on end. Yeah, I'm telling you, personal experience, it went away almost immediately. We're talking less than a week of taking the black turmeric and the different supplements that they gave me as sort of a trial basis. I experienced that firsthand, and I thought that was important that I actually do that because I wanted to believe in the product before we advertise it, which we do on the American Radicals podcast. So make sure that you go to trueearth.co and use promo code AMRAD24 to take advantage of a 10% off discount. All right. Well, we covered on Carrie Lake and the abortion issue. We're covering in on the coronavirus, which is a little bit dated compared to the things we're going on. Two more examples that are relatively recent. The first one was a few weeks ago, which pertained to passing of the budget that the House Republicans caved on. They didn't really get anything for us on it. They viewed weaponized government, any sort of nibbling back on that, pushing back on that, as something they're willing to trade because they were so afraid, back to the cowardice, of having a temporary partial government shutdown. They essentially said, the Republicans, that the FBI can do whatever it wants and can take you to jail for, I don't know, praying outside an abortion clinic. Allowing that to happen is actually the preferable option than having a temporary partial government shutdown and using that as a leverage point to get what the American people elected our House Republicans to do in the midterm elections, where we actually turned over the power of the purse strings to them with the expectation that they would actually stand in the gap and be the bulwark against weaponized government. I want to pull this up. This is from the Washington Post that sort of documented what the voter with the vote total was on it. How every House member voted on the budget bill to avert the shutdown. Very nonpartisan language from the Washington Post. Remember, democracy dies in darkness. But the Washington Post documented what the breakdown was in the House. 101 Republicans, which is less than half, but getting close to that 50% mark. They voted yes with 185 Democrats. So it was a minority of Republicans and a majority of Democrats in order to get over the threshold that they needed to pass this budget. It's also worth noting that in order to do that, they suspended the three-day rule that they had. Normally, there was a commitment to allow the public access to a bill that's on the floor. You have 3 days to read it and actually offer a comment on it, but they suspended it because it was an emergency. We don't want to have a shutdown. We are afraid of that shutdown. That's where the cowardice comes in. Included in this also was a $200 million allotment for the FBI headquarters, which Garrett and I, when we testified almost a year ago, we were reliably informed that that was never going to happen. but I guess we put our faith in the wrong people. There were some other aspects as well. And again, back to Thomas Massie, he seems to be the lone voice screaming in the wilderness on this issue. This was off of his X account a few weeks ago in March, and he was discussing some of the things that came out of this bill. So you have $1.8 million for women and infants hospital that provided late-term abortions. $650,000 for providing late-term abortions. We're going to multiple states here. You have $146,000 for LGBTQ family services to youth. They offer services related to your pregnancy choices. Noticing a theme here. $850,000 for LGBTQ senior housing services for illegal immigrants and free drug needle exchanges. That's great. So if you want to shoot up, we make sure that you're not going to get HIV with your meth. And then finally, $400,000 for the Garden State Equality Education Fund, which is an LGBTQ youth advocacy. So we are going to continue grooming the children with the budget that was passed without any concessions, pushing back on things like weaponized FBI. In fact, we rewarded them. Well, what is the reason for that? Is this bought and paid for? Is this a, is this comfort? Is it cowardice? Is it consignment? Where is the corruption here? You know, I think there's been, back to the term corruption. I think the discussions being had now when a lot of these people get into power, do they get something on them? Are they beholden to nefarious actors behind the scenes that are pulling the strings on them and they're just doing the bidding because they don't want to be exposed for having maybe questionable decisions in their past? Maybe, but I think that there's a lot more obvious reasons that are at hand here. They're afraid to take a stand and to buck the traditional system. It's easier just to kick the can down the road than be the one guy, be the Thomas Massie that rolled in there and was threatened with a primary challenge because he was willing to say the rules say that we have to be here to vote. And you all are not doing that. You're not following the basic charge of being a representative of the American people. There's the comfort aspect too. Like, it's a sweet gig to be a congressperson. Garrett and I discussed this after having gone to Washington, D.C. last week, especially around Capitol Hill. The lawns are perfect, perfectly manicured. There's no trash anywhere. I mean, I'm sure if you go a mile down the road to Southeast D.C., it gets a little rough, but certainly around Capitol Hill and all the monuments there, it's spectacular. This time of year, you have the cherry blossoms going. The weather's fantastic. It's a lively city. You can do all these different fun stuff. We had this breakfast. I mean, it was like Michelin-rated breakfast. And this is the comfort level that people who are elected to Congress and to the Senate and appointed to various executive positions, this is the comfort that they exist in. They don't want to give it up. And the way you could be threatened with that is if you buck the system. You get roped in very early, and the question is posed to you. Do you want to be ostracized and effectively be a short-termer here, or do you want to make this a lifetime decision? Do you want to be a career politician? Look at all the comforts that you can have. And then the last one is the consignment, the outsourcing. Well, you can shirk the responsibility. There's laws that are passed that we just, through the Chevron doctrine, we're going to defer our responsibilities to the subject matter experts, these non-elected bureaucrats, because they know what they're doing. We're just following their guidance. I didn't make the decision. I passed a law that said we shall listen to somebody who's unelected and unaccountable to the American people, but you don't need to know that. I'm just going to say, trust the experts. We did that with coronavirus. We are doing that with our budget because all these things are hidden in there. And we unfortunately have people who are do not have the courage of their convictions to step out and say, I'm not willing to allow late-term abortions in order to avert a temporary, partial government shutdown. One more example, and this one really struck home for the suspendables. This was the debate over FISA Section 702, the renewal question. Ultimately, it came down to a final vote last night on Monday night. Very appropriate, April 15th, tax day, the day that we all feel just so patriotic when the government takes our money Now they're going to take away your Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. The vote did not go well. We lost the vote. And now the Fourth Amendment is effectively a dead letter. The social compact is completely broken. The vote was pertaining to whether or not Americans' information that got swept up in the FISA Section 702 collection, if it was of an American and you wanted to investigate that person, you'd have to get a warrant. Well, Congress voted that they don't have to get a warrant to spy on you. We've empowered the FBI to circumvent the Fourth Amendment completely and wholly. And I wanted to first bring up this article. This is from Fox News. And House passes the FISA renewal without added warrant mandate for U.S. data. This was last week. There was the last attempt to do it last night, but same thing applies. Here's my problem with this. And back to the cowardice and the comfort and the consignment. They're afraid to be labeled as not backing the blue. I think that really what it boils down to for a lot of these Republicans. They might claim that they get into the skiff and they find out how things are awful, very bad, no good, and terrible, and bombs are going to fall on us. I think it's far more likely that this FISA 702 is symbiotically connected with federal law enforcement. And a lot of Republicans are afraid that if they do anything that removes one particular tool from law enforcement, that they will be deemed as being a defund the police person. But reading from this article, there's a couple of things that I wanted to excerpt. I'll throw to you. National security hawks and members of the intelligence community have called it a critical tool for preventing another 9/11 style attack. That's the cowardice right there. We don't want to have a 9/11. So we need to have this tool that allows us to spy on Americans. Back to the article. However, critics, including both conservatives and progressives, have both been seeking to limit its scope after reported instances of abuse by the FBI agents to query data on Americans that already existed in Section 702 database. And this is well documented. I think in one calendar year, there was 278,000 abuses by the FBI, despite what the Christopher Wray is saying, how they're 99% compliance. They do millions of searches, folks. Just do some basic math on it. They do 3 million searches and they're 99% effective. That's 30,000 abuses of the Fourth Amendment. It was a tense in the House chamber on Friday when that amendment, which was calling for a warrant, which ultimately failed to pass in a 212 to 212 vote, was being considered. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, cast a critical and potentially decisive vote against the amendment. And this is, I'm going to zero in particularly on the Speaker of the House and underneath the umbrella of the corruption issue. And again, the corruption not necessarily meaning public corruption, like dishonesty or fraudulence, but moral depravity and decay. This is the guy who's third in line to the presidency and was brought to power after the recall, the vacate of the Speaker's chair when McCarthy was removed and we installed Mike Johnson. He's supposed to be, you know, effectively someone of the far right, you know, someone with a biblical worldview, almost like a Garrett O'Boyle who is going to be sitting in that chair. But what's he really done? He's passed every single bill through without the Republican support. He's partnered with the Democrats on it. Effectively, what's the difference between a Mike Johnson speakership and a Hakeem Jeffries speakership at this point? They passed a budget through that was an increase from what Nancy Pelosi asked for. Now they've given FISA 702 over with the majority of Republicans voting against, and he cast the vote that made it a tie. And because of the tie, the amendment to require a warrant does not go through. And to the cowardice, Mike Johnson immediately left the House, left the Capitol, and flew to Palm Beach. And he had a press conference with President Trump and got air cover from President Trump, who was a victim of FISA. And he thinks, Mike Johnson thinks, that because he's there and working with the former president, who's the presumptive nominee, and I know a lot of people believe he'll be the next president, that he thinks that that sort of gives him the cloak that gives him a get out of jail free card. He's consigned those responsibilities that he has his charge as a Speaker of the House to hold the line, to uphold his biblical worldview, to have a conservative worldview, to protect and defend the Constitution. But he's consigned that out to another individual and says, well, I'm voting for the right person. So I'm all good here, right? Right? And there was a, we'll play one brief clip here from the press conference that President Trump was answering questions about the FISA ruling or the FISA decision here. Give us a quick play and then some final thoughts on it.
Go ahead, please.
Do you support the House's FISA bill that was passed this morning?
Which one?
FISA bill, and did you talk to anyone?
Well, I'm not a big fan of FISA. I looked at it and I studied it and I know it probably better than anybody. You know, they spied on my campaign. You do know that, right? And they did lots of other bad things. I'm not a big fan of FISA, but I told everybody, I said, do what you want. They put a lot of checks and balances on, and I guess it's down to 2 years now so that it would come due in the early part of my administration on the basis that we live up to the polls, because all the polls, we just had another one come out, we're leading by a lot, but it comes out quickly. I said, you do what you want, but I'm not a big fan of FISA. I think.
All right, that was a quick clip from that press conference with President Trump. I might quibble with a little bit of things that he's talking about there. I mean, he's a victim of FISA abuse, and he's not a fan of it, but at the same time, he said, well, it's okay with me if you pass it on through, as long as there's a it's up for review in two more years. I don't want it available for two more seconds. FISA 702 is only useful if it is misused by the FBI. But Mike Johnson is there getting the good and faithful servant from the presumptive nominee. And he assumes that that consignment of his worldview over will bestow upon him a get out of jail free card. And then he's also there giving a announcement of they want a standalone bill that's going to prevent illegal aliens from voting. Does anybody actually read the Constitution? That's not legal. You're passing a law for something that we already have. And you're doing that because that's going to get the base pumping their fist and ignoring the fact that their Fourth Amendment is effectively dead now. That the FBI can spy on them and will spy on them. You know, think that we've discussed on this show, and I've discussed it on others. My counterpart, Kyle Serafin's really hammered on the Section 702 aspect. But briefly, this is a counterintelligence tool to look at the electronic communications, the phone calls of a foreign official when they are overseas on a foreign land. But it's only effective when it's misused. FBI will use it to see who they're talking to in America and the collection that goes on with that. And they will use it to learn about an American citizen without a warrant. And now we're saying that that's just okay with us. That's not okay with me. I don't think it will be okay with anyone in the American Radicals podcast audience, but this is a corruption. This is a person of high ranking, high stature within our federal government, the Speaker of the House, who was in a position that he didn't even have to vote. He could have just sat it out and it would have passed the amendment, which was from Andy Biggs of Arizona, to require a warrant. I believe that that's pretty much in the Bill of Rights, but Mike Johnson actively went and voted to ensure that there will not be a warrant requirement when the FBI wants to gather intelligence on any American, which they will inevitably do. Well, there's some pretty dark stuff today. We covered in on the abortion, coronavirus, the budget, and now FISA. Some pretty heavy hitting betrayals that I think everyone knows. But I think it was worth examining through the lens of why are these wicked decisions coming through, and ultimately the corruption umbrella, and figuring out what angle of it is. Does it really matter? Probably not. I think, though, that the discussion is worthwhile because we have to hold these people accountable, particularly when you have, a Donald Trump, who is the presumptive Republican nominee, who is somebody who can be influenced by the base. I think that if you, as a voter or as an elected official, just defer your worldview to another person and don't have two thoughts in your head at the same time and say, look, I like this guy. I think he's the better option for president, but I don't agree with him on everything. And if you don't agree with them, that's fine. And you should actually voice that. You have a First Amendment still, at least until they get rid of that entirely. Why wouldn't you try to use this as an opportunity to influence someone like a Donald Trump, who seems to be malleable. We'll go with good suggestions that are conservative, constitutionally minded. Don't just roll over and accept the leftist premise that he happens to be spouting because, you know, for whatever reason, it was inserted into his mind and he's going along with it. You have to push back. You have to say, sir, I think you're the better option, but I think you're off on this one. Let's course correct. And that would be something that a Mike Johnson, you would think, would be able to do if he had the courage of his convictions. So heavy stuff for a Tuesday, but as always, I like to leave you with a little bit of a laugh. I told Garrett that this was going to be a pretty epic one for him. I thought he would get a good chuckle out of it. We're coming up on about a year, I think, since the Rich Men North of Richmond song emerged as sort of this anthem of the populist right. And in light of the abuses that we're experiencing from a federal government, happen to find this video here. This would be the response to the Rich Men North of Richmond if the federal workers were capable of being artistic or musical. We'll give this a play and then close it out here on the American Radicals podcast.
I've been working till the break of 4:45. I get an automatic raise and I can't be fined. Must wait till age 57 till I can retire with an inflation adjusted pension that continuously keeps going higher. Oh, it's a damn shame what the world's come to. They want us back in the office on Mondays too. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. Not living in the real world is a lot harder than you'd know. Sure, I got dental, but it's bad I go mental, 'cause I had to fill out both of these forms. I also see price hikes on necessities. I had to purchase my rental in Ocean City. Please don't tell anyone. It's so embarrassing, the plight of rich men north of rich men.
Hey, we have to have cameras on for today's meeting.
I just sit here a-wasting my whole life away, 'cause this verification code is taking all day. How do you expect me to check my 401k? Plus my fudge round supplier no longer takes Apple Pay. Oh, it's a damn shame what the world's come to. It takes one person to do my job, so we have to. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. Not living in the real world is a lot harder than you'd know. Sure, I got health care, but I get an in-depth scare. Only weeks left to open and roll. New guy plays with his pen, he just sits there and snaps. How am I to get in on my 2 p.m. naps? They want us back now on Tuesdays. I just might collapse. The plight of rich man, north of Richmond.
We're just like you.
There you have it. As a palate cleanse for the American Radicals podcast. That guy's pretty talented, actually. His name is Remy. He works for Reason TV. As a musician, he does all of these covers of songs. If you want to chuckle for your day, I would encourage you to head on over and just watch what he puts out on YouTube. But that's the Rich Men North of Richmond. Those are the actual ordeals. I mean, if I didn't know, I don't know him. I don't know if he's worked in the federal government. Spot on, though. That those are the trials and tribulations of a federal worker, particularly one who is working in Washington, D.C., as Garrett and I talked about. It is palatial estates, specifically around the Capitol, and they're hiring two people when one will suffice. And they're complaining about the property prices and they had to, you know, move to Ocean City, Maryland, as opposed to Arlington, Virginia. They're not people who have the courage of their convictions. They're people who are content to live in their corruption, and they will easily live in their comfortable lives while outsourcing their actual duties that you send them there to do, so they can continue to live there. So Want to thank the audience today for joining us. If you haven't already, guys, make sure that you smash the like button and give us a follow. Just picked up one new monthly subscriber. It looks like KM Texas 2021. We really appreciate that, guys. You know, not obligated to do that, but it's always really appreciated. It goes to support us here on the show. We were able to use the Rumble Rants and the subscriptions to get a new upgraded Restream service. So we're not going to have the complications that Garrett and I had a few times here where we've been able to stream, but you know, playing with a new system is always on the fly difficult. And we want to make sure that we give you the best possible product. We will be with you again on Thursday, 8:30 Eastern time. Until then, I would encourage you all just to head on over to the Kyle Serafin Show, which starts in a few minutes. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for being with us.
You've been listening to the voice of the Suspendables on the American Radicals podcast. Follow us on rumble.com/amradpod.